We're ready for some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that. Good morning, everyone. It is great to be here. I'm David Gow, the Boss, and sitting next to me, Carla Dawson, the Gloss. The highlight of our week, our entire week. Ron, you agree with me?
Oh, he is silent.
He was a little reluctant to proclaim you the highlight of his week, but great to see you. Good morning.
Top of the morning to you, gentlemen. I think I'm going to declare this not only Football Friday, but Relationship Friday.
Oh, dear. What do you
and
mean?
We're going to get to it. I'm not going to reveal right now.
Really?
But Ron's got some relationship
I feel like we need
talk.
To pull in a couch.
Oh, goodness. We do,
we lay down. Am I going to start talking about my mother?
Get the couch. Hands behind your head. On a pillow. Ron's got some relationship talk coming up in segment one, and you've got some marriage talk. So we've got... Stay tuned. We're going
to Well, Ron's got to deal with Anthony Lynn and all things Chargers and the fate of Anthony Lynn. Oh. And the comments about Pearl Harbor, they got him in so much trouble. And I've got to deal with...
You got some marriage talk with your boys in Big D.
What does it mean in Dallas that Dak Prescott and Jerry Jones can't seal the deal, can't get together on a long-term deal? It's as if they're married but separated.
And how about
they're not divorced.
I'm going to be your free counselors this morning.
Yeah, that's where I'm not sure we're headed in a good trajectory.
To the one whose team has a winning record, right?
Yes, my 7-5
Raiders. Isn't it usually reversed? Like for the last 15 years, it's been you and I probably offering her advice, and now she's come around going, hey, I want to tell you what it's like from the top, guys.
It's been a long, cold winter.
You've got to take advantage of the situation when it comes. I'm taking my opportunity now. So
yeah, suddenly
I will help you too.
Perked your head up. You have a big
Consider
smile on
a
your
Christmas
face.
Gift.
You're the one offering counseling to all of us woe-begotten people. You really do feel good today, don't you?
I am feeling good because I just love helping people, and you two are my favorites. So here we go. Consider your relationships, marriages already fixed.
All right, when we come back, before Carla's therapy session,
yes,
on all things Chargers and Cowboys, we'll look at last night's game, Thursday Night Football. Patriots with a big loss to the Rams. We'll look at that when we return. And is it time to bench Cam Newton for Jared Stidham?
Talk about therapy.
That's when we return on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, this segment of the Boss and the Gloss is brought to you by The Athletic. The Athletic delivers every sports story that matters. They have full-time local writers dedicated to your teams, providing breaking news, in-depth analysis, and exclusive stories you cannot find anywhere else. Plus, they have national names like Robert Mays, Stuart Mandel, and Ken Rosenthal. The list goes on and on. Even your favorite, Carla, Lindsay Jones.
I love her. She's
I read
great.
A great story about her on the NFL yesterday. The holiday season, from now until the end of the year, you can do it. You can, this holiday season, spread the joy of better sports coverage. Give an annual subscription to The Athletic, and you can get one free. There's one low price, two subscriptions for every team. Same rooting interests are not required. Go and get this for a friend this holiday season. Head now to theathletic.com/BOGO radio to unwrap this deal. Again, that's theathletic.com/BOGO radio.
Buy one, get one.
There
that's
it is.
Do it.
So I'm waiting for you to buy one for me.
Well, my elf on the shelf already got me one.
Oh,
I
must be nice.
I gifted myself.
Oh, you did it for yourself.
Well, my elf gifted myself.
Must
my
be nice.
My elf on the shelf gifted myself. There we go. Look at that. See, I am on top of my game this morning.
It's complicated.
7-5. Now, that record helps
me. It's always
me.
Been complicated with you. There's
I know,
you.
I know.
Then there's the gloss. And then there's the elf on the shelf. I mean, all these people. So many in this one room.
And you think, this is just the beginning of my identity revelations.
And you think that you're going to give therapy to Ron and me?
Oh, yes.
That's the question on the table.
Well, that tells you the state which you two are in. But that's okay. We won't digress right now.
Well, we do have a little situation in New England.
Didn't we have the return of Super Bowl 53 last night?
Well, one might have hoped if you were a New England fan.
It
was the inverse. It really was a dominant performance by the Rams, defeating New England. I want to say I thought the Rams looked very impressive. I mean, Cam Akers in that running game was outstanding. And on the defensive side of the ball, the Rams really showed up, stifling New England's offense.
Six sacks. Two by Aaron Donald.
Donald's a stud, and he leads that front in charging. Jalen Ramsey in the back. I mean, you do need to look at the Rams' defense a little bit differently. It's so interesting because it was just a year ago we had Wade Phillips there as the defensive coordinator. He, of course, who has won a Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator in Denver and was a very good defensive coordinator for the Rams and got them to the Super Bowl, a really nice, I would call it, veteran sidekick to Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. But Wade Phillips is gone, and the defense is playing better. They do have a full season of Jalen Ramsey, which they did not have last year. But I was impressed by the Rams on the field last night.
And they snapped a six-game losing streak with New England. Six-game losing streak.
And the biggest of those losses being that Super Bowl.
Absolutely. That seemed unrecoverable. So, and you mentioned Cam Akers, the rookie running back, a second-round pick out of Florida State. 29 carries for 171 yards. He averaged just under 6 yards a carry. That's a beautiful night if you're Cam. If I'm picking a Cam, Cam I am is Cam Akers.
That's a better one than Cam
Newton. Cam I ain't is Cam Newton.
Well, I would say that I cannot recall a team running the ball that well against the Patriots under Bill Belichick.
I don't think that's ever. Right.
I mean,
I think you're right.
It was an amazing night, an amazing thing to watch. I mean, just a few weeks ago.
They ran for 187 yards versus the Patriots defense.
That's amazing to think. I mean, just a few weeks ago, the Patriots defense was exceptional in shutting down Lamar Jackson and the Ravens running game. But it
was a
different
story. Look
at
last week against the Chargers.
Oh, yeah, they shut down the Chargers.
45-0.
Amazingly,
which
right.
Which brings about a little relationship talk.
Oh, dear.
Ron Culver, our resident Chargers fan, what do you make of it? Is it the Patriots or is it the Chargers?
That was the issue I had with last night's game, was watching the Rams just beat up all over them. And it just, all it kept reminding me was like, yeah, but we lost. We gave them 45 points and we couldn't get one. We got shut. I mean, how hard is it to get shut out in the NFL? And that seemed easy last week. And then you look at this Patriots team that barely were able to get 3 points.
Well, the one piece of optimism for the Chargers this year has been the outstanding play of rookie Justin Herbert.
Yes.
Did he take a huge step back last
week? No. I don't think he did. I told you guys this last week. Yeah, I don't know if you remember. Bill Belichick was ranting and raving about Justin Herbert and how good he was.
Yep.
And I thought that's...
You know what happens when he does that.
When he is fixated on that, he is keyed in on that. Unfortunately, it didn't work this past week because he kept referring to Sean McVay as an offensive genius. And I thought, okay, well, he's going to limit Sean McVay's abilities, but the Rams are just that much better of a team. But I knew that was going to happen. I knew Justin Herbert, you know, and he was even enamored by the fact that Belichick was ranting and raving about him. He's like, oh, my God, you know, greatest coach ever, really likes the way I play. I think it's just one of those games. It's just a rookie game. Belichick was able to devise a defensive scheme that he's never seen before.
Yep.
And I think that confused him.
Well, in his defense, Belichick has made a lot of rookie quarterbacks look bad.
Yes.
That's what Belichick does very, very well. I've thought about your comment a couple weeks ago when Justin Herbert, who, of course, had this long, flowing hair, and then he shaved it off, and you were afraid of the Samson effect.
No, the strength and conditioning coach shaved it off. That's even worse.
Even worse.
Let's get the
details. The idea
here.
That, of course, Samson, the great character in the Bible, who once he shaved his head, he was no longer strong and physically capable. And so I thought about that when the Chargers landed 45-0. But that's not your concern. You just think it was Belichick.
That was Belichick being a defensive genius that he is. I mean, we've seen him do it time and time again. I mean, he did it to the Rams in Super Bowl,
yes,
was that 53?
Yes, 53.
I mean, that was just pure defensive genius. I mean, the guy is will go down as the greatest coach in NFL history, if not, you know, top two.
Yeah, I agree. But Ron, what do you think about Anthony Lynn? Because I look at Anthony Lynn and he's got a ton of talent. The Chargers are not devoid of talent.
No,
and he's done a great job with Justin Herbert, but the guy can't even win a press conference.
No, I'm still an Anthony Lynn fan. I just think it's time for him to move on.
And there's you've got been, a relationship analogy.
There's too many seasons where he has, you know, where all the games have been really close, and he's found a way to lose them at the end. Even when it was Phillip Rivers, you know, 2 years ago, Phillip Rivers, I mean, we had like a streak of, I think we lost like seven games, and all of them were lost in the final minute of the game. It was something ridiculous. And that continues. Now it's just, now I'm looking at him, and I don't know, I don't think he's actively trying to get fired. And I put it to you this way, that Tony and I were talking about this earlier. We never want to say that we're rooting for a guy to get fired.
Sure.
Right?
Unless you're a Texans fan.
Yeah, and that's where I bring this into a relationship. You never actively root to break up in a relationship. But when you kind of see the writing on the wall that this relationship, I don't see it moving forward. I see the ending coming soon.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah. You start looking to see what else is out there. And I've begun to do that. I'm not actively asking for the Chargers to fire Anthony Lynn at the end of the season, but I'm also out there looking like, you know what? Jim Harbaugh has some success in San Diego. He's not really doing anything in Michigan. Why don't you come to L.A., Jim? You know, I mean, you know how to work with quarterbacks.
He'd be great.
Or you know, Bieniemy. I mean, you've done fantastic things with the Chiefs. I mean, you just go down the list. There's a bunch of players out there.
So you're looking for the next SHC, smoking hot coach.
Yes.
Got it. That's what,
looking for
I thought you were, Carla.
That's the relationship.
But that's another matter.
I'm looking for my Sean McVay.
I have my SHC. I got John Gruden.
Oh,
so
you
I'm
do,
good.
Don't you?
I am all good in the
You
hood.
Like people that look like Chucky, I guess.
Well, she is a fan of Halloween, I think, right?
That's right.
Evidently.
That is an excellent analogy. Your therapy session is going to end early today. I really like that. And you don't even have to come back next
week.
For those
who
I just
want to
know if I have
see,
to pay.
Well, for those who can't see what's happening in studio, there's a couch, and Ron just laid down on it, and he's just been talking and talking and talking.
I might need to take the rest of the afternoon off.
He looks emotionally spent.
I think as a Chargers fan, we've got to give him that time off.
So Anthony Lynn took heat this week for what he said in a press conference. Why don't you share with us what he said about Pearl Harbor on December the 7th?
We're in a valley right now, and we're down, but we're not out. You know, just the other day was Pearl Harbor Day. You know, one of the biggest defeats this country's had. And we bounced back from that. And you know, I kind of use that as an example with my staff the other day. You know, we're down and out, but we're not dead yet. So we're going to finish this season out the right way. And today we're going to start with a good day of practice.
Can I give Anthony a little therapy advice since this is my role today?
Evidently. Self-proclaimed, I might add.
Anthony, I realize talking to your staff, I mean, it's internal. You're going to say things that should be kept in the locker room. And so you did that. I wouldn't have carried that to the public. Mm-hmm. I just think maybe that wasn't the best decision.
Well,
maybe.
He got a lot of criticism for it. I will say he's certainly not the first coach to use a battle analogy.
No,
we're going
right.
to war. The stakes are high. I mean, this is part of the nature of sports.
It was one of the most devastating battles
but wouldn't
in
you
US
agree,
history.
Wouldn't you agree that there are a few untouchable days that you just don't compare to? Ever.
Agreed. And that would be Pearl Harbor Day would be
right.
one of them. So God bless him. I like me some Anthony Lynn too. But wow, bad enough you used it with your staff, but worse that you felt the need to repeat it. Aye.
All right. When we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Cole Thompson. He is a writer. Well, for FanSided, he covers all things NFL. And we'll ask him, is it time for the Patriots to move on from Cam Newton? That when we return next on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on the Boss and the Gloss is Cole Thompson. He's an NFL writer at FanSided. Cole, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great. And I want to begin by asking about a conversation we've been having. Is it time now, given what happened last night with the Patriots and their loss to the Rams, is it time for them to sit down Cam Newton and take a long look at what they have in Jared Steedham?
So I'm not sure if it's that exact way. I do think they need to sit Cam Newton. I mean, you look at his scores from last night, 119 yards. It was his best passing game in a while, 119, but he did throw that costly interception, pick six by Kenny Young. He was sacked four times, which is a big deal. And the run game kind of was at a down low with 107 yards. But you look at this defense that Los Angeles has posted this year, they're one of the league's best and so underrated in the secondary, all through that back seven. That's why you see athletic linebackers like Kenny Young making plays for pick sixes. That's why you see Jalen Ramsey stepping up and holding N'Keal Harry and Damir Bird to under 50 yards on the day. Overall, it wasn't a bad game from Newton in the sense of what you have is what you have, and that's been the biggest question mark all season. But you have to really look at this Patriots team. If they continue to win, they're going to be out of line, not just for a quarterback, but for one of these prime receivers, such as the Devonta Smith, such as the Jalen Waddle. So I would even throw even the Rashad Batemans into the category. Those are things you cannot afford to have with whoever is your quarterback. And in a quarterback-heavy draft class, you can always go get your guy in round two. Plus, there's rumors of possibly going out and getting Jimmy Garoppolo via trade, maybe Matt Stafford via trade. All those things you could do to look at for the future. But if you continue to win, you're putting yourself in a position to where you won't have the draft capital to get one of these prime guys, something your offense really needs. That's why I think that you have to sit Cam Newton, more so to build for your future. He could be the quarterback next year if you really want. Bring in someone else for competition, but I think you have to sit him to set yourself up for success in 2021, because this feels like a very lost year for Bill Belichick in New England.
That's a great point, Cole. And speaking of quarterbacks who really upgraded, you look at the L.A. Chargers, who the Patriots took care of in big fashion last week with a 45-0 beatdown. And here we go. The Chargers with plenty of talent, seemingly Anthony Lynn, you know, doing a great job with Justin Herbert, yet they're sitting here at 3-9. Does Anthony Lynn survive the season? And if not, where do you see him going? What do you see happening to him?
So the biggest thing with Anthony Lynn is he will be at fault for the main reason of the team has had so many multiple leads that they've just blown in the second half. That's one of the biggest downfalls for Los Angeles this year, because you brought it up completely. The offense is thriving, and you look at how he's working with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry, and they have the pieces to be very successful. And on defense, they spent a lot of money to go get a guy like Chris Harris Jr. to solidify the middle of the field, and he just hasn't been the same nickel cornerback that we saw out in Denver for all those years. But instead, you look at Herbert, and I do think that he is the key piece. And I said this about Zach Taylor earlier this week on a different podcast. If Joe Burrow does not want to work with Zach Taylor, you have to fire Zach Taylor, because if he is your franchise guy, Herbert at this point, in my opinion, deserves to be the rookie of the year for all he's done, even though he is on a losing 3-9 team. If he does not want to work with Anthony Lynn, I 100% understand why you depart ways with him. Go get someone who he wants to work with. But I would love to see Anthony Lynn work with a guy like Josh Allen. This is something that we all know that Brian Daboll, what he's been able to do with Josh Allen's progression in year three, makes him a prime head coaching candidate. And I believe he is going to get a job somewhere else. But the biggest thing is, you have a guy who's worked with a player with a big arm, who's worked through the cadences, worked with a guy who can move outside the pocket, things that Josh Allen is doing and is thriving at. And the offense needs to continue to develop that way. If Brian Daboll gets a job, Sean McDermott should at least give Lynn a call. He knows the area. He coached for years both in New York and Buffalo. I would very much like to see him continue to work with quarterbacks. I think he's earned the right to work with quarterbacks. Maybe, if anything else, I'd see him go to Detroit, work with Matt Stafford. He was able to fix Philip Rivers into an MVP top 10 quarterback back in 2018. Maybe we could see something very similar up in the Motor City. Those would be my top two places to send him.
We are talking to Cole Thompson. He's an NFL writer at FanSided. I want to talk to you about the Saints. I've been so impressed by what Sean Payton has been able to do with backup quarterbacks. Bridgewater last year, Taysom Hill this year. Have we seen enough of Taysom Hill to think that he could be the starting quarterback to succeed Drew Brees?
You know, no, but here's why. There's three rules in the NFL, in my opinion. The first rule is never go up against Andy Reid against the bye week, because he will kick your butt with the play calling. Never go up with a rookie quarterback against Bill Belichick, because he will beat all the rookies every single time. And never trust to go up against Sean Payton with a backup quarterback. That's just the rules. He's 8-0 with a backup quarterback in the last 3 years. And you see that even though Teddy Bridgewater isn't the problem in the Queen City of Carolina, he's not the solution either. And that's why they're sitting at 4-8 while he was sitting at 5-0 as the quarterback over in the Bayou. So I like Taysom Hill. I think we have to give a lot of credit to those doubters who said, oh, Taysom Hill, he's just this guy. He just runs around and makes big plays. No, he actually is a quarterback, and he does have a decent arm that can go downfield. But the short passes, you know, that's really been the storyline of everything we've seen from the likes of the New Orleans offense. And that's more of a Pete Carmichael play calling system than anything else. Go short, get a few intermediate passes here and there, build your way up. I think that Taysom Hill fits that, but the more important thing was you're paying a guy $16.5 million next season to pretty much sit on your bench and do nothing. I really thought that that's why they went with him over Jameis Winston, because they had to know if they are going to pay him, they have to see what he can do. You finally see that he can be an effective weapon, and at the end of the day, that's all he really is an offensive weapon. Play quarterback as much as you want, but I still would not be shocked if they draft a quarterback, maybe in round two, like a Kyle Trask, build around it for a year or two, see what the problems are, and free up some cap space with a younger guy.
We're talking with Cole Thompson. Not only is he an NFL writer, fan-sided, but he has great hair, said Thomas Dimitris. So I wish we could see you, Cole.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I do. Yeah, 1 year in the senior role, Thomas Dimitris and I were talking. He said, I like the way you clock your hair. And ever since then, I've just been like, all right, cool. I'm going to use that for my bio.
I'm telling you, Cole, I'm a little jealous, actually. But
Carla knows the history and backstory and all these things.
I know all things that are very, very important. Okay, cool.
They are.
That's right. Hey, good hair. It doesn't come easily. So, okay, get out your crystal ball. Who's your best fit for the Texans head coach and general manager next year?
So I really would like to say it's John Dorsey and Eric Bieniemy, but I can't go that far. I think John Dorsey would be the actual best candidate for the GM. Listen, you look at how he's built teams up, both Cleveland and Kansas City. And the biggest thing of all is he's got the quarterback down with Baker Mayfield, and he got the quarterback down with Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have to worry about that in Houston. I do think, though, for Houston, you need a guy who's a little bit more processed. And the biggest thing of all, and I've been kind of on this train that is a little different, but you look at how Doug Peterson is struggling, and you look at how Matt Nagy is struggling. The reason they can't find success outside of their systems is because Andy Reid really was the system. And now that they are caught in their own fire, they're not able to reproduce it. So I'd be a little cautious when hiring Bieniemy, looking at the Peterson and Nagy train. I would really go for a guy like Brian Daboll. I think Daboll has proven himself. I think more than anything else, he's done a good job working in the systems under Nick Saban, under Bill Belichick. He has that background. But it's the resurgence and the confidence that you see in Josh Allen in year three. When a quarterback has that much confidence that he can go out and make plays, he runs like Deshaun Watson. He throws like old Big Ben Roethlisberger. I think a guy like Watson would thrive with a guy like Daboll. He's also a guy who knows the system with Jack Easterby. Even though we all know the Jack Easterby story, it broke yesterday, and it is a doozy if you haven't read it on Sports Illustrated.
Man.
I do believe because of that connection, it would make a ton of sense. And Daboll kind of fits what I think Houston needs. I think Dorsey is a great hire because of there's already a quarterback in place. But I think that you need to go get a guy who works well with quarterbacks, who maybe is a little less controversial as well if you don't know the backstory of Bieniemy. But more importantly than anything else, Daboll, I think, brings something in confidence that a quarterback needs. And that is exactly what Deshaun Watson needs in a rebuild.
We're talking to Cole Thompson of FanSided. You can read him there. We've got about 30 seconds left. I want to ask you about the game I'm most looking forward to this week. It's the Ravens and the Browns. What do you look for in that matchup?
I want to see which quarterback can throw more. This is the number one rushing attack versus the number two rushing attack. But we just saw last week Derrick Henry, the league-leading rusher, get stopped by Cleveland's defense, holding a season low of 60 yards. I want to see if Lamar Jackson can have another game where he doesn't have a lot of turnovers, more passing. But on top of that, Baker Mayfield, can he build off that four-touchdown game? Best game of his career. Ravens defense is fantastic. Let's see what he can do in Monday Night Football.
Great stuff. Cole Thompson, thank you so much for joining us. Read Cole at FanSided. Thanks for joining us.
And watch for his hair.
Thanks, guys.
to Football Friday with the Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And in the first couple segments, we have covered the landscape of the NFL, and we will return to that. But I want to talk just a minute about all the things taking place in the NBA right now. It is such a strange window here in Houston where James Harden has declared that he wants out, and then he's not showing up. The guy is under contract for 3 years for a lot of money.
Yep, $40 million, $44 million, and $47 million, respectively. And so let's complain and grumble our heck out of here.
Yeah, he wants out. Mm. This does not sit well with you.
At all.
Maybe you need therapy for this.
I think I do.
Yes.
Bring in the gentleman. Okay, the tables are turning now. Yeah, it does not sit well with me at all because the Rockets, you know, with the old ownership, with the new ownership, with old coaches, with new coaches, they have given Harden everything he's asked for at every single turn. They fired McHale. They got rid of Dwight. They brought in CP3. They moved him out. They brought in Westbrook, moved him out. Brought in D'Antoni. Everything he has asked for. And they've brought the people in. They've moved the people out. They have just, he has been the little kid who has the shiny red truck that he begged his mom for in the grocery store. She gives it to him. He throws it out the window and says, I want the blue truck. They give it to him. He throws it out the window. It is ridiculous. It is time for the Rockets with the new regime. Here we've got Tillman, who has debt up to his eyeballs. Restaurants and casinos cannot be doing well in a pandemic. Now,
Tillman
Fertitta,
the owner of the Rockets, is in a lot of businesses that are struggling
in the light of
pandemic.
He's brought up Raphael Stone, who has done a great job under Daryl Morey as first-time GM. Steven Silas, who is handling this whole drama with the mama Harden here with such class and poise. And he's got to make money here. Like, when are we going to stop catering to James Harden? What has it done for the Rockets? It's caused inconsistency year after year after year. And they didn't get past the second round of the playoffs yet again.
Well, Harden has come out and said, build me a championship team or I want to go. Well, of course, they've been working and trying to build a championship team. And sometimes they're falling short, really falls on the shoulders of James Harden himself. Really strange window.
And he's pigeonholed the Rockets because he hasn't said, I just want out. I just got to get out of here. I don't like whatever I'm seeing. No, he's saying, first it was, I just want to go to Brooklyn.
Yep.
Well, they're not going to take nothing for Harden. They absolutely can't. I mean, he's the league's leading scorer, 3 years in a row, MVP, the whole situation. He's now opened it up. Wow. He's allowed them to trade him to the 76ers. Does Daryl Morey want this guy again? What did he do for him in Houston?
Well, Morey does seem to be a fan. I mean, in everything he has said, he's been very generous. He did leave. I think Morey left because he saw the Rockets did not have a window here where they were really going to be able to compete.
Right.
They had gone as high as they were going to go with the Harden-Westbrook combo. And now, of course, they've traded Russell Westbrook for John Wall in a deal with the Wizards. If you're Daryl Morey and you have a chance to bring in James Harden, that's intriguing. But you don't want to give up your big pieces. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, those are sort of the anchors of that team. I guess that conversation is probably taking place. But what could the 76ers give to the Rockets that would make that worthwhile unless it were
Simmons,
a Simmons or an Embiid?
Yep.
I mean, it has to be a superstar for superstar deal or it could never make any sense for the Rockets.
But I don't even know. I'd be curious to see what you think about, let's say it's a Simmons for Harden trade. Maybe there's a draft pick involved. I don't know. It would have to be at this point. But do you give up a guy who's been the league's leading scorer for several years in a row and an MVP? I mean, we know the numbers that Harden puts up. We also know that he can't get out of the postseason. He cannot make it to the final in the postseason. We've known that. You give it up for a young guy who never went to college, played in Australia for a short time, and, oh, yeah, he doesn't have a jump shot. He's so good, but he doesn't have a jump shot. I'm scratching my head here. Like, there is upside, and there is youth, because Harden is in his 30s. But I don't know. How do you feel?
No, I'm not a big Ben Simmons fan. Never really have been. He's a very good player. He's not an elite player at this point in his career.
He's not fully developed.
He really does need to develop a shot. I mean, somebody ought to take him off on a court in a faraway land and have him shoot jumper after jumper after jumper and get that right, because that's the difference between Ben Simmons being a good player to have on your team and an elite player in the NBA. He's not there yet. If that deal were to happen, look, most NBA teams, when they trade a superstar, rarely do they get fair value back. I mean,
although look what they got for Jrue Holiday. That was a crazy haul in.
That was a good haul. I mean, when I look back at Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, I think the Lakers got the better end of that deal. The elite superstar. It's a superstar driven league in the NBA, yep. And so if you trade nice complimentary pieces around it, but you lose the superstar, it's a very tough outcome. And that's really where the Rockets seem to be. I can't imagine how they're going to get fair value back. I mean, the dynamic here, of course, is Harden is saying, I must be traded to a contender. Well, a contender has at least one, maybe two superstars on it, like a Durant and Kyrie Irving if it's the Nets. But that contender doesn't want to give up a superstar in return because they're positioning for a championship run. So if, in fact, Harden's going to go to a contending team, the outcome just doesn't look bright for getting a good return for Houston.
And I'm wondering, if you are a GM for another team, obviously Harden as an individual talent is crazy good, and he's got the numbers to prove it. But he has not, to me, he's not a leader on the court or off the court. Take this week, for example. You're trying to get traded. You're trying to get, you know, enough of a haul that the Rockets are going to bite, right?
Yep.
So what do? You say, I'm not real big on Silas and Stone here in Houston, so I'm not going to show up. I'm going to no-show the start of training camp. Not only no-show and work out. I guess he did work out at University of Houston, whatever. But we have film that he was at Lil Baby's birthday party in Atlanta. So not only was he a no-show, but he was partying it up, un-COVID style,
yep.
No mask, which is against NBA protocols. And last I checked, he is under contract. That's how he gets $40 million. And then he went from there to Vegas. And so the optics are horrible. What he did is not okay. And what he's saying to Stephen Silas, Raphael Stone, and Tillman Fertitta is that I'm superior to all of y'all. So I'm going to go do my thing.
This is a guy who clearly has never cared about optics. I mean, recall he...
Stripper man.
Well, yeah, right after an NBA playoff loss, he was out at a strip joint, and that was a public matter.
And how did it work for him?
Oh, goodness. I mean, this guy just doesn't care about that perception, evidently. I guess he's all about what he does on the court. The broader question that bothers me for the NBA is that it makes it such a player-driven league. I mean, this is a guy who is under contract for multiple seasons. He's supposed to show up and play. And if he just says, no, I don't want to, and you must trade me, that's a one-sided deal. I mean, think of it this way. If he were to have, God forbid, a debilitating injury, the Rockets would still have to pay him. Or if his game falls off and he's not very good anymore, he just loses his shot, the Rockets still have to pay him. The contract commitment is there. But if he wants to leave, he just demands that, never mind the contract, we're going to just throw that out. I want to go to another team. It's a one-sided contractual commitment. And we've seen that in the NBA. And that's a real troublesome fact. And at least with Anthony Davis, he was entering into his final year. At least with Kawhi Leonard, he was entering into his final year. And the team came and said, we want to do an extension. And he said, no, you know what? You should know now that when the contract ends, I'm not going to renew with you.
Oh, Anthony Davis wasn't that nice. Don't you remember the That's All Folks?
Yes.
T-shirt? You
There's
know,
an
the
attitude
end.
About oh. it. There's a right way to go about it. Yeah. But if a team comes to you and says, hey, we want to extend you a year out, and no, it's not going to happen, fine. Then they work out a trade. But this guy has a contract for 3 more years at big-time dollars. He needs to get into camp and be a teammate.
I think you bring up a great point within the main issue in the NBA. I think Adam Silver is the best commissioner in professional sports, the way he has handled COVID, just the way he has handled the Black Lives Matter movement, everything. He really gives a lot of autonomy to the players. I think they really respect him and like him. And he could do a lot better in reining in a superstar-driven league where they do feel like they can make things happen. And if you're James Harden, you're saying, look at the precedent. Kawhi wanted out of San Antonio. went to Toronto, got his chip, wanted out of there, and got to Clippers, no problem. Paul George, Indy to Oklahoma to Clippers, no problem. Put that together because he wanted to play with Kawhi. And Kawhi, I might mention, wouldn't go to the Clippers unless they brought in Paul George. There we go with LeBron.
It's player collusion in that case.
It
right.
is, totally. And well, LeBron and did Anthony the same Davis. Thing with yeah, AD. Absolutely. He did the same thing in Miami yep. when he went. Then you've got Kyrie, forced his way out of Cleveland to Boston. That didn't work, so now he wants to go to the Nets and make sure that he brings in his buddy KD. I mean, this is insane. Like, where are the boundaries here? Where is it that the owners and the commissioner and the GMs have a say in this? Are the Rockets going to be, do you think they have it in them, and do you think it's smart to be the first ones to step off that crazy treadmill and say, no, Harden, you're under contract, you're staying here, we're not trading you?
Well, what is interesting is in the COVID era here that we have, part of the reason why teams don't do that, part of the reason why a team like the Rockets would acquiesce to James Harden is they need something to sell to the fans to bring the fans in. They need
getting
to,
rid of Harden is going to bring fans in?
The argument being Harden sitting out and having nothing in return is such a frustrating thing, no one will buy a ticket. You trade James Harden for a Ben Simmons and a draft pick, or Adebayo from the Heat, whomever, wherever the deal is, then at least you've got something. But if Harden is just sitting out, if he's...
He won't be getting paid.
If he's off in Vegas, this is the point. Yeah. He won't be getting paid. And right now, you can't sell tickets anyway in a COVID environment. My point is, in the middle of the COVID environment, this is the one moment you might...
At least for the first half of the season, that's how they're rolling.
You might actually draw a line and say, you don't show, you don't get paid. Big deal. You're out. We don't need you here because we're not going to have anyone in the stands anyway. And I, Tillman Fertitta, will save that $40 million salary right now. That's a lot of money to be paying to somebody who can't put butts in the seats in a COVID season. This might be the one moment when you would draw the line, when you would say you either show up or you don't show up. If you don't show up, you don't get paid. But we're not trading you for under fair market value.
I mean, those are great points, and I agree with you. And do you think the Rockets have acquired three new players in John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, and Christian Wood? Do you think at least with Wall and Cousins, is that enough to excite fans?
No, it's not. And that's why in a normal year, it would be a problem. Rockets would have a crisis on their hands because their best player, their marquee player who sells tickets, isn't coming. But if you're not going to sell tickets anyway, just say fine. Don't walk in the door. You go off to Vegas, we'll put those videos up. You're screwing your own market value.
I love it.
This
Look
is the
at you.
One
the
moment
boss is
you can
getting
do that.
Bossy. I like
this
it.
This is the
I
one
like
moment
it.
You can do that because you're not going to be selling tickets with him anyway. It's going to be months before fans are filling up stadiums again. And so you just call his bluff. I just think this is a window when you can really do it. It would have been harder to do it with Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard. They were crises that the teams had to solve. But this is not a crisis for the Rockets. This is a crisis for James Harden. He probably does have enough money that he can afford not to make $40 million. But let him bear that cost. Rockets, right now, as the season begins, if he were to show up, they'd have to pay him $40 million, and they can't sell tickets against that. So he's really not worth that much to them right now. I know there's competitive juice, and but the Rockets aren't going anywhere. Realistically,
they're not
going deep into the playoffs.
It's not a rebuild, but it's a restart.
It is. I mean, I think looking back at it, we've had a week to digest it. The trade of Russell Westbrook for John Wall was probably a pretty good move for the Rockets in light of they had a problem with Russell Westbrook, too.
Oh,
he 100%. Wanted out, and he wanted to move on.
And he needs the ball in his hand. And it's Harden's team.
Yep.
That was never going to change. And, he doesn't have a jump shot either.
He doesn't have a jump shot, and he's got a very, very big, burdensome contract. So to trade him is hard, but you found a guy in John Wall who has a like-kind contract. And so that set up that opportunity to make that trade. All right, when we come back, we'll look at the Rockets as they exist with the addition of Wall and Wood, and DeMarcus Cousins, what he brings. We'll look at that when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, James Harden can certainly get our blood flowing as he is very, very frustrating to the Houston Rockets, and we're broadcasting here from Houston. One other thing I did think when the Rockets traded for John Wall, shedding Russell Westbrook, who was not a fit with Harden, adding John Wall, who when healthy is a very good player, I thought that was going to help the cause. And I actually thought, because I had read that Harden and Wall have worked out together in the summers, they've had time together, that Harden was in favor of the acquisition of John Wall. And I thought maybe that would silence Harden's problems, that he would sign up with the team, come back to the Rockets, and drop his trade demand. But it doesn't seem to have changed anything.
Well, I think you just said the magic word, which is team. It's all about James Harden.
Yeah.
It's not about the team. If it really was about the team for James, and sadly that's who they have hung the contract on to be the guy,
yep.
He doesn't care about the team.
Yep.
He cares about James.
Yep. All right.
It's not good.
We will come back next hour. We're going to take a look at college football and how the Aggies, the Texas A&M Aggies, could be in the CFP and all the steps to get OSU, Ohio State, in the CFP. All that and more on the Sports Map Radio Network.